Good day to you. This is Jared Ethan Black. You're listening to Here I Am, Our Responsibility.
Hallelujah is the term. Anyone know what it means? Like, it's said a lot. It's a compound word, meaning it's made up of two words. And it's a picture word, as many of the Hebrew words are. Halal in Hebrew is the word praise. Yah in Hebrew is shorthand for Yahweh, God. So hallelujah would be what? Yeah, praise be to God. The word picture, when you actually take the characters, and we've maybe done this? Yeah, we did this. I brought a board in one time. It's literally the character he, lamed lamed, yod he. He meaning behold. Lamed lamed is tongue, but when you double it, it's of tongues. If you've heard King of Kings, well, this is behold, the tongue of tongues, attached to, like nailed to, Yah, Yahweh. Behold, the tongue of tongues ascribed to or attached to Yahweh. It's a great word. It's a word of extraordinary praise, because in its even its etching, its framing, it's saying, I couldn't say it any more powerfully. So I'll just have to live with the tongue of tongues. Any possible word that could fit the phrase or the God of the universe is included in this. Behold, the tongue of tongues attached to God. And if you're Hebraic at all, or if you've been taught in your scriptures, it would be from a deep Hebrew root, God alone, right? God alone. There's no other God above. That idea of behold, which is captured in one Hebrew character, but it also has a word with it, henna, in Hebrew. So if you've ever read, particularly the King James, sometimes they get scrubbed out of more modern translations because we don't really use the term a ton. You know, behold, my English homework. I mean, we don't really, it just feels too, whatever, but it's a great word too. It's used like 800 times in the scriptures, because it is a people word. It's a word that's so good for us. If you watch a parent and a child, we use the idea of it constantly. A parent will say to a young child, look, you know, there's your food. Look, it's right there. And a child will often reflect back to their parent, look, and more specifically, look at me. Look, I've done this. Look, I put away my shoes. Look, I'm walking. Look, I fell down. Well, in scriptures, that would be behold. Like, pay attention. Look, take your attention and frame it on me. And both God and the response of God's people have this interchange of look. Well, look. Look over here. Okay, well, you look over here. I'm one that as I've continued to, get older, I guess, the questions get more simple, because I'm not convinced of the answer that I allowed myself to think was what crafted reality. So one of the very simple questions, which really astounds philosophy, there's no answer as of yet, and theology and philosophy will wrestle until the end of days about this very nature or quality of God. And then, if you wrestle with that, who God is, then you have to wrestle with, well, then who am I? And back and forth, behold, look, God. You know, behold, look, a person. And it starts to beg the question, if God is, then what is your response ability to this God? What ability do you have to respond to this God? So I actually want to present, as we start this semester, not entirely knowing where we will go, I wanted to frame for you a ex- extraordinarily biblical, foundational response baked into the scrolls of the Hebrew Scriptures particularly, but also finding their way into the parchments of the New Testament. You have a response ability with God. Hallelujah is a wonderful vocalization of a response to God, by the way. In fact, you could never go wrong with a hallelujah. It may be awkward and socially weird, but you can never go wrong ascribing the tongue of tongues to God. Whether you go to the heights of heaven or the depths of Sheol, as David would say, God alone be praised. That's kind of the idea. So what do you do? What do you do in your seat here? How might you practice, learn a response to God? Because this is a school where you study church history, you study the history of theology, how ideas became and get baked in to then the practice and the longing and the yearning and then maybe the dysfunction of the church. And then you show up and find yourself in this day, in this age, with all the things that you have to deal with that are unique to the day and age prior. And then there's lots of things that aren't unique at all. They're just common to being a human, looking to interact with a God, or if you're more dangerous, a God looking to interact with you. So what might your response be? There is a compound word that shows up in some of the most dramatic stories contained in our scriptures. And it is this play back and forth of behold, look, God would say, and then the response of the one whom is being addressed. And it goes like this, and I want to teach it to you if you've never known this, and I actually would encourage you to find your moments to practice this very response with God. It is the foundation for responding to God. Have I oversold it? I mean, this is it. By a show of hands, and do not feel any pressure to put your hand up. How many of you, or which of you, would say, I have had a moment or moments where I recognize I am either in the presence of God or that God is in the presence of us? Anyone ever noted that? Again, no pressure to put your hand up, because that's actually a wonderful challenge. I like dangerous prayers. Dangerous prayers to me are this: when you pray the will of God, the answer is always yes. So do you dare to pray a prayer where you know the answer will be yes? Here's one such prayer. God of the universe, I desire to see you. Or pick another sense. Hear you, feel you, touch you, sense you in some way. I desire for the reality of God. And if you are in the camp of, I don't even know that there is a God, that's okay, you're in great company. Welcome to planet Earth. I desire to sense you in my reality, in whatever way you would like to reveal yourself. Each one of you is equipped, by the way. How you're equipped is going to be a little unique. I think there's almost like a spiritual learning development thing. Kind of like, you know, I'm a visual learner, or I'm a tactile learner, or I'm an audible learner. Well, chances are, as you interact with the divine, you have a sense about you that's going to be a communication mechanism with you and God. Some people just sort of know something, and some people feel something, and others just, they practice something. They devote themselves. And in doing so, that is a connect point with the divine. You are equipped in some way. Just like going to school, I didn't learn how I learned until my 20s. And you may be in the same spot. Like I did assignments. I read things I was told to read. I wrote things I was told to write. I practiced and I did things and I took tests and whatever. And it wasn't until my 20s when something kind of clicked together and I realized now in classes, oh, this is how I process information. And from then on, it was like, I won't say it became easy, but it became very natural to study and to know, because you can pick and choose. You're like, yeah, okay, that's not how I'm going to learn this. That's not how I identify with this. That's not whatever. It becomes your learning style. You have a style with God, whether you know it or not. You're gifting. Some of you are going to see things in the mind's eye. Some of you are going to hear things like as if it's your voice playing in your head. Some of you are going to just sense and know. Others of you are going to kind of put the pieces together of what's around you, or you're going to sense the Lord's presence. The God with us, we've talked about Him. The Emmanuel is right here. I mean, that is the gospel message. Never forget this. The kingdom of God is at hand, which is a wonderful way of saying right here. You are not far from the kingdom of God. So if that be true, part of your education here in this school, yes, learn all the technique and all the things, the data points, but you, as a human, and this is really a classical ideal, you want to learn your connection, your virtuous connection to what God is doing on this earth. You have a role to play. You have a part to play. So whether you've ever sensed this presence of God, or in the raising of hands you realize, yeah, that's not me. I've never connected that way. That's fine. Totally fine. I invite you to invite God to connect with you in the way that you're designed. And so here's what that would look like. When it happens, I won't say if, but when, you have a responsibility. You have an ability to respond to God. And so I want to set up the beginning of this semester with this idea, so that as our semester goes on, as your life goes on, and you find some intersections where the kingdom of God feels quite near, and the presence of God, as you learn to identify it, becomes surrounding you in various times and spaces. And those of you who have some practices, those of you who are beginning reflections, and the hymn sings are beautiful times to accomplish this, whether you know the tune or not. The words craft a reality. And you can find yourself immersed in the filling presence of God. It's more than a feeling, by the way. It's an awareness. Scriptures might say it's an awakening. When you are awakened to the presence of God in your midst, in your life. Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, Elijah, Jesus, and now you have a response. In each of those pillars mentioned in scriptural narration, God addresses them, and at every point they respond back to God with a singular word. Actually, it's a compound word that is Hineni. The word is Hineni. And Hineni simply means, here I am. When you tap into, awaken to, recognize God, either in someone else, or in your midst, or working amongst, or in the readings you're doing, or in the song you hear, or in the quiet, or in the drawing that you are putting in your commonplace book, when you recognize, oh, wait a second, this is the connection. I want to encourage you with this response, and I want you to say it. Here I am. There is no other response that God would look for from you than the simple presentation of all that you know yourself to be and all that you are to Him. That's it. You don't have to do anything prior to the Hanani. Prior to the here I am, you don't have to fear, run, hide. You simply, Hanani, here I am. Some people wake up with this. It's a practice. It becomes a part of, okay, God of the universe, whom I barely know if I know at all, or whom I have this walking, growing relationship with, Hanani, here I am. I would say it's akin to a repent word. It's a position word. It's a acknowledgement that I am not God, which is good, but God is, and here I am before God. What does that accomplish, if anything? When the Lord says to Samuel, 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 Eli instructs Samuel, when you hear the voice, you simply say, Hanani, speak, I'm listening, here I am. Consider this, that you and me are wholly incapable of discovering for ourselves how it is that we should live our lives, how we're actually supposed to be intimately connected in this world. Just consider that that could be the case, that left to our own devices, we're historically bad at it. We tend to call Ra what God calls Tov, and we tend to call Tov what God calls Ra. We don't just tend to, it's almost like we have a master's degree in it. Because we don't understand how God would relate all the pieces. And so, all God says is, as I call, as I interact with you, Hanani, that's all I need from you. Have you ever tried to give someone instruction about anything? Maybe it's building the pavilion, I don't know. Where they have their own agenda, and they go ahead and complete the way they were doing it, when you, having a fuller understanding, tried to give instruction of a better way or the way that it should be accomplished. Have you ever had that frustration? Wouldn't it have been better if someone had just presented themselves and said, hey, here I am. What do you want to do? How do you want to do this? That posture is so much easier to work with than trying to wrangle someone and their energies down to the ground, get them to see a whole different way of doing it, and then be willing to walk in it. That is the human condition with this God of the universe. We've all got a lot of gas in the tank, and God is very patient. And sometimes He'll just say, you know, we're just going to let that run out. To get us to a point, and this is where you can start, to, okay, here I am. Here I am. I have nowhere else to go, the disciples said to Jesus when He inquired of them about their Hanani. Okay, I know nothing else but to present myself to you. That's it, Hanani, here I am. Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Isaiah, whom will I send? Who will go for me? And then Isaiah says, Hanani, here I am, send me. If that's what you want to do, over and over and over again, don't miss the simplicity of this. Are there heights to scale and philosophies to unpack? Sure. But none of that compares to having the posture, internal and external, of Hanani. Here I am, God. In the coming weeks, months, maybe years, I don't know. God's got good timing. I want you to check. I want you to notice. I want you to behold. Look. When God orchestrates in your midst, I want you to respond. Practice a response. Hanani, here I am. The transformative quality of the God of the universe in your very life rests simply on being before him. That's it. That's all. You need bring no other thing. Mystics would later tell you, well, you actually have nothing to offer. It doesn't mean that you're not awesome, and it doesn't mean that you didn't come with a gift package and skill sets that you've honed. It doesn't mean any of that. It means when it comes to you and the Lord, the God of the universe, your proper, first, only, appropriate response, and it's very freeing, by the way. This is not a hindrance. Is okay, here I am. If you find yourself not living the way that you recognize is holy or wholesome, hanani. If you find yourself walking out of one of the biggest successes of your life and you're looking for an expression of joy, hanani. The Christian mystics found this an extraordinarily appropriate way to be before the Lord. In fact, they would teach over and over again, quit talking. Simply sit alone before the Lord. And in God's time, He, God alone, makes things righteous. They relate properly in the world in which they find themselves. It is the longing of our heart. We will all wrestle and bang against it. Here is the way to accomplish it. It's quiet, it's simple, but it's profound, and if practiced, note it. When God speaks, however that is, hanani. When God doesn't speak, however that is, here I am. Here I am. It is such a powerful posture. In this day, right now, where the cataclysmic confusion on what a person is, don't lose sight. Don't lose the touch of reality that you still you, even if you are confused about what a person is. Take all of that confusion, take all of that uncertainty, and I dare you. Hanani. You have to figure it out before you present yourself to God. That's strangely arrogant. And all of us are susceptible to it. It's just this. In different worship settings, you'll see people have different postures. And, you know, it can be awkward for some, and it can be very freeing for others. What's your posture? What is your posture before the living God? Because you're not far from Him. It's right here. The kingdom of God is right here. The arena of God's activity is right here. How do you touch it? How do you clue in? How do you organize your life in the midst of it? The ancients would say in the stories they told, it is as simple as giving your, here I am. Which puts all the onus on who? To accomplish great things through your little life. Did you connect it? So when in the moment you see God, or hear God, or perceive God, or just kind of know God, or you've written something and you recognize, wow, that was inspired. Great. Touch that. Behold it. Look at it. And then present yourself to God. It's that simple. And because it's so simple, it's quiet. And because it's quiet, it gets drowned out. And we miss our ability to respond in the moments. So from here to the end of your life, you have a series of moments. Hopefully you get a lot of them. Long, long life, full life. But even if you have a short life ahead of you, which you wouldn't know sitting here anyway, it's in the moments that you present yourself to God. This will be a moment on Tuesdays where we talk about these very things. And if you're so inspired, or if you so capture something, or if an idea floats by, or a revelation, a feeling, an intensity, or whatever, when we're singing. It's here, by the way. I mean, you can touch it. There are moments, there's crescendos where you capture, wait a second, it felt a little different. And Amy, here I am. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that in the midst of our extraordinarily full, busy lives, you would teach us the simplicity of being with you as you have promised that you are with us. May today be even one of those days. In Jesus' name, amen.
So many questions in my head, it's like a carousel spinning. Just when I think I'm at the end, I find I'm at the beginning. Well, if I had the chance to ask him, would I even know where to start? Yeah. Would I ask them chronologically right from the creation? Would I start with the finale, the book of Revelation? Maybe I should stop my thinking, let the questions flow from my